prescriptions, copays, lab tests. Even with insurance, healthcare can cost thousands every year. But not for me, because I'm enrolled in VA healthcare. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Dodgers, Yankees, pivotal game five. Aaron Judge.
Fastball driven the other way. Sleeping Giant has awoken.
Yankees 3-0. End of the first inning. We'll talk about the World Series coming up. Tyson Alger, I-5 Corridor. That's where you can find his work. He's been all over Oregon season, the Timbers and other things, up and down the I-5 corridor. He's joining us now. How are you, man?
You know, I was thinking late in that game yesterday when Judge hit that single up the middle. I was like, man, if I'm L.A., I don't know if I want to let Judge get his extra swings in here. And here we go. Two-run shot here, first inning. Here we go, John.
Yeah, you can see his face during the first three or four games of the series that he hasn't been totally comfortable. But all you need for him is to get comfortable and sort of relax a little bit. And all of a sudden, you hear it here, two-run shot in the first inning, Yankees up 3-0 after one. Tyson Alger is with us. Oregon gets a big opportunity going to Michigan on Saturday. You know, you've been around this team. Is this game any bigger than any of the others? I guess Ohio State was probably felt like a bigger game, but you talk to players, you talk to coaches. How are they framing this Michigan game?
Yeah, you know, I don't think on like the micro, like they're approaching this one any differently. I mean, at this point, they've been tested by the big opponent in Ohio State. They've gone on the road and they've played well against Purdue. And obviously Michigan is kind of in a down year right now. They're a team that just doesn't quite have the hype that a defending national champion should. But, you know, at the same time, Oregon's number one in the country. This is like their first like big Big Ten road trip. And, you know, I think if you have the opportunity to, you know, go into one of college football's kind of hallowed grounds and play in front of 100+ thousand people, especially kind of considering, you know, what this year means for Oregon's brand. It's a big game in that sense. But just from a straight up football standpoint, I don't think this one stands out any more than the rest.
The way that Michigan has played and the fact that there's no Jim Harbaugh here and they haven't looked good offensively, I don't know. I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, look, Oregon's got to win this game, of course, if they want to stay on task. But it just feels like this is a game that is set up nicely for Oregon's defense. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit? The Tosh LuPoy defense, 6 of 8 games, 14 points or fewer. They've been nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, and I've been really impressed with just kind of the pressure that the front seven has been able to generate. You know, going into that Ohio State game, everyone in the country was talking about Jordan Burch and how great Jordan Burch was looking and how he was finally looking like that five-star recruit that South Carolina signed all those years ago. And then he goes down, and Oregon really hasn't lost a beat. I mean, this was a guy who was averaging a sack a game, and in his stead, you know, Mateo Uyunglele has really come on strong, and he's up to 5.5 on the season. Tatum Tuioti is contributing. You have skinny, fast linebackers contributing. This is just really a group that kind of comes at you in waves, and kind of like that mentality mixed with Tosh LuPoy just loves disruption. He loves emphasizing for his guys to punch the ball out. If people watch those Ducks versus Them documentaries that they put out every week, you know, that's kind of the consistent message that Tosh always has. You know, he wants to create havoc. And, you know, we've seen some pretty good Oregon defensive, you know, front seven players over the years. You know, I think I was pretty spoiled my first season because I got to see Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner on that line. But it's just the overall quality and depth that the Ducks are able to come at you with this group. That's really impressive. And I think that we're just kind of seeing that as they go through this Big Ten schedule. There's not really any teams that are pushing the Ducks around in the trenches. And I think that's really the biggest transformation of this Oregon team from the time that Dan Lanning took over back in 2022.
This season is obviously cruising along and Oregon's undefeated and they're the number one team in the country. What are you worried about, or what are you unsure about when it comes to Oregon's roster, Oregon's team, the rest of this season?
You know, that's a tough one because, like, unlike past Oregon seasons where they've been pretty good, like, there's not, like, one particular thing that they do better than, you know, kind of the rest of the roster. I mean, like, they obviously have a very good offense that's led by a quarterback who has played a lot of football games. And I was relatively critical of the way Dylan Gabriel played maybe earlier in the season, but, like, he's been on fire lately. You know, I think he showed a little bit of uneasiness in the red zone, you know, especially maybe if you look back at, like, the Michigan State game. But I mean, the guy's playing pretty darn good. So I think maybe a little bit of red zone concern, like, especially if, like, when they get later into the year and if these games get close, a little bit of that. But I mean, across the rest of the board, the offensive line has allowed 2 sacks since the 8 that they gave up in the first 2 games. So, like, that's really come along. You're seeing balance with the running backs. You know, I'd like to see how Terrence Ferguson looks when he comes back from this injury. I hate doing the whole sunshine and rainbows thing, John, because we know what happens when you get sunshine and rainbows when the Ducks are number one. It's traditionally bitten them in the back throughout their history at this point. But it's interesting looking at this Oregon roster and not really seeing one glaring weakness on it.
Yeah, and it's the depth as well, because you mentioned the injuries. Jordan Birch goes out, Terrence Ferguson gets hurt, and we don't seem to notice it on the field, even though it becomes a story. And that depth, you know, I know we've talked about it, but how important is that going to be in a season that could potentially be a 15, 16, 17-game season?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, like, just the one guy that I've been thinking about this week is Kenyon Sadiq, the young tight end who we heard a lot of positive things about during the preseason, and usually there's always kind of that one or two players that the coaches and players kind of really like to single out, and then you maybe see a little bit of it during the season. But, like, this was a guy that Will Stein was comparing to Brock Bowers, and I know that's pretty outlandish to hear, but then, like, we've seen him get the ball in his hands the last few weeks, and the way that he runs, it's just they're unveiling new weapons kind of week in and week out. And I think that's just incredibly important, especially, you know, they're going to have some injuries. You can look at the wide receiver group right now, and Kyler Casper went down. You've had Gary Bryant Jr. who hasn't really played this year. You had the suspension with Trayshon Holden, and they've been able to have other guys pop up. You know, Justice Lowe was incredible last week, taking the top off of a defense that doesn't generally let that happen. I think that's the biggest difference between when Oregon's number one now versus maybe a decade ago, is this Oregon team can definitely withstand punches to the roster and keep fighting.
You know, just a few minutes ago, I'm gonna pivot with you. But just a few minutes ago, the Portland City Council voted on the resolution to support the Portland Diamond Project. And you know, you've been here and you've watched hockey or baseball get talked about, Tyson. The mayor Ted Wheeler comes out over the top, comments positive. City commissioners vote 5-0 to support the project being constructed on the South Waterfront. The Diamond Project's super excited about it. Still, you're going to need Major League Baseball to view Portland as a viable city, but this is a big deal to have the city leaders seemingly pivoting in support. You've got the Ducks. You've got the WNBA coming to Portland, a Final Four, Women's Final Four in a couple years. You know, there's a lot going right in the market. What is your reaction when you see political leaders supporting a large scale project like baseball?
I really like it. You know, I think it's been kind of as somebody who is as wanting of baseball in this city as anybody else, you know, it's been kind of a challenge over the years to follow the bring baseball to Portland project, just because, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty behind it. You know, you are kind of at the mercy of Major League Baseball and whether a team is available. But, you know, of all the kind of the projects and locations and those sorts of announcements that we've heard, the fact that they have this location that's in the city, the fact that the city is getting behind it, I think that's meaningful. And, you know, I've lived in Portland for the last 10 years. Like, I know how over the last 4 years the city's definitely you know, gone through their ringer a bit, but you know, I've been downtown the last year. Like, things are improving. Like, I love that they're putting in that that James Beard Market downtown. Like, I love that they're bringing WNBA in. I love that the Timbers did Green Day and Foo Fighters downtown. Like, I think things are popping back. And if you were able to get baseball and be able to bring that momentum with it as well, like I think it'd be a great thing for the city, John.
Yeah, there's a lot of naysayers. I think it's really easy to sit back and go, well, what does it mean? Or, oh, no, it'll never happen. But in order for it to happen, you have to have an entity like the Diamond Project involved. You've got to have city leaders excited about it, moving it in one direction. You know, this is probably as attainable as maybe Duck fans in the late 70s and early 80s thinking, well, one day you're going to be in the Big Ten and you know, you're going to play for a national championship in a 12-team playoff, and people would roll their eyes and go, no. I mean, you've got to be able to think about it, and you got to have people willing to dream about it and talk about it in order for it to happen. But I'm like you, you know, I want to see a shovel in the ground. You know, I want to see a stadium built, and then you and I can go see a game and get a hot dog and drink a beer and watch a baseball game. Tyson Alger with us, I-5 Corridor. What are you doing with the corridor? Because I see you covering Timbers. I see you focusing on the Ducks and the Beavers and other things, Blazers. What's the aim now with I-5 Corridor?
Man, the aim is just to tell stories that I like to write about, John. Like, it's a pretty simple pitch, but you know, I've been around the Ducks for the last decade, and I find them as interesting as they've ever been. And so, you know, I put a lot of time and effort and thought into the stories. Or I like to call the corridor approachable storytelling. So, you know, the Timbers was a fun challenge this year. You know, last week all of a sudden I was embroiled in the whole Evander contract dispute, which was not something that I'm quite used to. You know, I do a lot of college football, and getting into soccer negotiations is a little bit different for me, but you know, it's something that's also not really covered in the city. So I really loved covering the Timbers. I still love doing the Ducks, and I have a few other I think fun stories coming out here in the next couple of days that I'd really love it if people would come check out.
Tyson Alger, I-5 Corridor. Do you have a score prediction yet for this Oregon Michigan game? How do you see this sort of the flow of this game going?
I think this is going to be like a 38-9 sort of game. I think Michigan's offense is too one-dimensional to really do much against this Ducks defense. And the Ducks are playing pretty darn good on offense right now. And I think maybe they'll take a series or two to kind of like find their way on the road here. But this is a really good Oregon team, and I think they're going to keep playing like it.
Tyson, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you, man. And for people who don't know, read them at i5corridor.com. We'll talk a little more about the win by the Diamond Project today and what the city's support means. Also, what Oregon State needs to be doing now that will pay off later. Stick around.